I'm going to pick one of these Saturdays out and try to get up here about 10:30 in the morning and just have class all day until Romans is done. And I think that's about the best way we're going to get it done at one shot. So whether you're here to hear it or not, I'm going to teach it anyway. And we can get it down on tape and you can listen to it that way or whatever wants to be done. I'd rather teach it to people. But whichever way we have to get it done, we'll get it done. Amen. We can't spend 3 years in the book of Romans. So we are going to work that out to the best of our ability. School year is coming to a close, and so we need to be mindful. I need to be mindful to get that done. Well, I was looking over this passage of Scripture the last couple of days, and I was thinking at the same time driving up the road to the meeting over the weekend, I was listening to a audio book, John Adams, by David McCullum, and he was describing a sea voyage across the Atlantic on a ship called the Boston, and it was being made in wintertime, perilous voyage, and some Royal Navy ships got after them. The British Navy was chasing them in this ship, and they were sometimes getting away and sometimes they were losing ground. And all of a sudden one day the wind stopped blowing through their sails, and so they came to a screeching halt. And so he describes the moment as the ship just sitting there with their guns run out, and they were just being basically carried along by whatever current the ocean might provide, really not doing much of anything. And I got a picture of our little church here with cannons stuck out the windows and getting ready for battle, but not really doing anything at all. And so whether that's true or not, I just got the image of that. And so I've had in my mind over the last couple of days and really weeks, but really specifically over the last couple of days, yesterday and today to be specific, being ready for battle and having the sails up and the guns out, and when we get the wind back in our sails, try to turn this little light cruiser into a battleship, amen, and do something for the Lord. If we're ever going to do it, the time is now. I'm not going to get any younger, and definitely not going to get any smarter, but what I'm going to try to do is get closer to the Lord and have the Lord do something in our hearts and in our minds, and quit this coming to church and just the dead and no expectation from God and all this stuff. Going to try to get rid of that altogether. Amen. If you want to go with me, then all hands on deck. Amen. That's about the only way that I can put that. Amen. But we're going to try to do something for the Lord and try to do something to stir our... Sometimes you got to stir your own soul up. Amen. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do. But we can't surrender. We can't back up, especially in the sense of going back to the world and going back to the weak and the beggarly elements. And so I'm just praying and asking God to renew a right spirit in me and renew. I don't believe that anything is in vain. I believe the journey that the Lord has had me on over the last couple of years, I don't believe it's in vain. I believe that that you have to learn lessons in life. You have to reach a level of maturity through growth. God not going to just magic the stuff into your head and into your heart. We're not born with innate knowledge. We have to gain it. Sometimes we have to pay for it. Sometimes we have to fight for it. Sometimes it's happenstance or providence or whatever you want to describe it. But I feel like that we've been a long road here, a long journey. I believe the Lord has a purpose for me. I believe the Lord has a purpose for you. You and me together as People's Baptist Church is just a small part of a much greater mechanism that's ruled and reigned by the Word of God. Our opinions don't mean nothing. Don't mean nothing. Your preferences don't mean nothing. Your ideas don't mean much of anything when it's in opposition to the Word of God. What we think we know, we hardly know. But what is absolutely certain is the Word of God is clear. The Bible says that we have such a hope, we have such a clear hope, that it's put out to us in plain speech. It's easy to be understood. It's easy to be imparted. And all we have to do is petition the Holy Spirit for it, and then get our forks and spoons shined up and our plates clean, and receive it. Yeah. Amen? Receive it. And I'm not talking about this television, claim it and name it and receive it and all that. I'm talking about earnest expectation from the Lord. And that's what I've got. And I've been a long ways down the road and learned a lot of hard lessons. And I've did my best to put the emphasis where I thought it belonged at certain prescribed times. I've tried to be a teacher. At certain prescribed times, I've tried to be a preacher. At certain times, I've tried to be full of grace. At certain times, I've tried to be about as rough as sandpaper can be. And I believe that's all. I believe that's all right and good and well and good. And but what I'm more convinced of than anything right now is that it's time to blow the trumpets, to charge, to go forward, to do the right things, to draw nigh to God. I believe that with all my heart. And so that's what we that's where we're going to try to go from here. You say, well, you don't know where I've been, Brother Mike. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what your past is. I don't care who done what to you. I don't care who you done what to who. I don't care any of that stuff. All I believe and all I care about right now is getting right with the Lord, you, me, all of us, and going forward, amen, and dragging a big old net behind us, cross on our shoulders, fishing net, being drugged behind us, and doing what we can and doing what we should for the Lord. And the naysayers, doggone them. Amen. I can't say anything much meaner or much nicer than that. Doggone them. Amen. If they're going to be naysayers, let them be naysayers. If they're going to be critics, let them be critics. I don't much care, because I've weighed all that stuff in the balance. I've looked at it. I've sampled it. I've stuck my toes in the water. I've done everything that I can, and I know that the way that the naysayers are doing it leads to trouble. And I'm not interested. I'm not interested in going that way. I'm interested in going God's way. It's a little old-fashioned. It's not the way everybody else is doing it. It's not as glamorous. The paychecks aren't as big. But I'm telling you, it's the way to go. The Bible way is the way to go. And it's time to commit to it or get out. Amen? I mean, just get in the race or get out of it. It's going to be hard. Let me tell you, it's going to be hard to sit on the fence. Amen? And nobody going with the exception of the preaching, nobody's going to come to you and ridicule you, but it's going to be hard. And it's hard. What the Lord said to Paul is the best. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Yeah. And I'm calling on God. I'm calling on God to bring conviction. I'm calling on God to bring motivation, to bring encouragement, to bring edification to this church. And going to do, listen, if somebody else was your pastor, they'd probably do it a different way. But there comes a time in every man's life when he has to realize, when he has to realize that he is who he is. And it's hard for me to make decisions like somebody else, because I ain't somebody else. Sometimes I think there's two or three different fellas dwelling up here in this head, but two or three of those folks are probably demons. And so I got to stop listening to all the other voices and just listen to the Word of God. And I'm always glad. I'm always thankful when I hear preaching, instruction, advice that's godly and in accordance with the Word of God. And so that's what I know in my heart that helps me. And so all I can do is take it the way God gives it to me and pass it out. Amen. I've tried to grow over the years, and I believe that I have. I've tried to learn over the years, and I believe that I have. I've tried to find better ways than I know, or better ways than I knew of doing things, and I believe that I have. And I believe the Lord has been merciful to me beyond what I deserve. I believe that the Lord has been merciful to us beyond what we deserve. And the only thing left to do is just like a child must eventually realize that he's had all the training that he's going to get and get out, like a bird being kicked from the nest. There must come a time when Christians realize that, hey, some of the things you're learning, you're going to have to put into actual practice. And you'll never stop learning, and you'll never stop being a student of God's Word. And there'll never be a time when you can't receive instruction, but there must be a time when you accept that you're of age to apply what you've learned and get out into the world and do that and be that. And so that's what we're going to get, and for the foreseeable future. I don't know what God will have every day, every week, for all eternity as far as this church or its preaching is concerned, but right now we are going to try to start repairing the damage. And that is what I want to preach to you about tonight, repairing the damage. Let's read in chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you, God, for all your goodness and for all your mercy. And Lord, my mind has really raced off in 1,000 different directions, even since I've started to preach tonight. And Lord, I pray that you would help me, as it's already been said, preach or teach or whatever goes on. Help me to do it, and help me, God, to say things clearly, and help me to say things as you would have them said. And Lord, the response falls totally and squarely on the shoulders of those that hear. And Lord, I ask you, God, to do a great work and a mighty work in this church, in this community, in the surrounding communities. And I pray, oh God, that you would help us to be that battleship, that fortress standing in a dark world. Lord, help us to be that strong tower. Help us, God, to represent your name, and help us, God, to represent the truth in this area, and help us, God, to be a burning and shining light the more we approach these final days that we live in. Help us to do these things, and I'll thank you and praise you for everything that you do. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my unworthiness. Forgive me of my faults and of my failures. And help me, oh God, now to draw strength from you, from your word, from your spirit, Lord, to do what I must do as the pastor, as the preacher of this church and in this place. And I'll thank you, God, for what you do. In Jesus Christ's name, I ask these things. Amen. Amen. Now, what a great passage of scripture this is. I mean, this is really much weightier than a lot of people think. And I remember when I was a boy, I remember that they emphasized this verse a little bit. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Another verse they kind of emphasized with this chapter was back in the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, if I'm not mistaken. It says that you're to remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And somehow some of these little verses like that stick out in your mind. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And some of these things stick out. Some of these things really are in the forefront of your mind if you'll really emphasize them in your own heart and in your own life, especially at a young age. Some of us are past our young lives, and we're looking forward to old age, and some of us have reached old age already, but it's never too late to be transformed. And that's what this verse is about, this passage is about. And this message is to all the saved. This message is not really to the lost. And I don't think we have anybody lost here tonight, but if you are, you need to get saved. Amen. And this really, it's a message to all the saved. It's to all the new creatures in Christ. And that's what we are if we're saved. You're a new creature. You are not what you used to be. You may be young and have your whole life ahead of you, and you might want to have a lot of fun, But you are not what you was born into this world to be. You were born in this world as a son of Adam, a sinner, made in the image of a sinner, on the road of a sinner, going to the destination of all sinners. And now you've been washed in the blood. You've been born again. You've been bought with a price. You are not your own. You are no longer in the driver's seat. You no longer get to make the decisions. The choice is not yours. The comfort zone is not yours. Your life is not yours. The decision making is not yours. Your life is no longer none of your business. And you need to sit down and shut up and buckle up and get along for the ride and be as obedient as you can to the Lord, because the time is short. The time is short. The time is short. Before you know it, you'll be 25 and have kids, and then you'll be 30 and have a lot of headaches, and then you'll be 35 and you'll have kidney stones and gallstones from all the nerves that you've encountered from those kids, and then you'll be 45 and your hair will be falling out, and you'll be paying dental bills and braces, and then you'll be 60 and then you'll be retired, and then you'll be at the funeral home, and all your opportunities will be gone because you thought of everything in the world except for what was important, and that's doing what God said for you to do. And so this message is to all the saved. It's to all new creatures in Christ. If you're not that, you need to become that. I'm going to tell you right now, there is a large percentage of folks sitting in Baptist churches, Methodist churches, a very large percentage in Catholic churches, but religions all over the world, not just America, but there is a large percentage of men, women, boys and girls sitting in churches who have never become a new creature. They might have said prayers. They might have fasted. They might have bought suits to go to church in. They might have bought Easter dresses and Christmas dresses. They might have got a King James Bible. They might be deacons. They might be secretaries. They might be a lot of things. But one thing that they are not and never have been is a new creature in Christ Jesus. They are the same person they was before they got saved. They're still uncomfortable around holiness. They're still uncomfortable around the Bible. They're still uncomfortable when somebody prays. They're still uncomfortable when somebody preaches on the street. They're still uncomfortable when somebody mentions the name of Jesus Christ. They're still uncomfortable when people start talking about goodness and holiness and righteousness and standards and justification and sanctification. They're uncomfortable because none of these things have ever happened to them. Jesus hadn't happened to you. Justification hadn't happened to you. Sanctification hadn't happened to you. And as far as you're concerned, you're the one in charge. You're the one that's going to decide. And let me tell you this. The Bible says that the scripture is of no private interpretation. You've got no business putting your hands on it except you subject yourself to it. Yeah. You've got no business. Listen, you people, listen. Even if you're born again, washed in the blood, you have no business touching that Bible until you subject yourself to it. That's just a cold, hard truth. If you don't like it, you can lump it. That's just all there is to it. That book's going to rule you, or that book is going to tear you down. That's just the way it is. You say, I don't like that. That's not comfortable preaching to me. But that's the truth, regardless. And you say, well, that's just a bad tone. You wouldn't receive it if it was said in a good tone. You would, amen. That's just the way that it is. We've got a church society today that's living off of its own direction, off of its own inspiration, off of its own goals, off of its own desires, off of its own preferences, and that is not how God intended the church of the living God to be run. That's just not the way He intended. Amen? I don't find it on the pages of this book. Amen. Amen. I'm not guessing if you have a need of repair in your life. I'm assuming that you have need of repair in your life. That's what this sermon is about, repairing the damage that's been done. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. First of all, let me say that the aim of this sermon is to make this point clear. Only a renewed mind and a transformed body perceives the will of God. Only. You remember when Paul was writing to the Corinthians? He said, I want to speak to you like spiritual. He said, but I can't speak to you like spiritual. I got to speak to you like your babies. like you're carnal, like you're following your flesh. That's the way I've got to speak to you, because you're not spiritual. Only a renewed mind and a transformed body perceives the will of God. Let me read it to you. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies, not your soul, not your spirit, your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy body, acceptable body. I'm talking about the body of flesh. I'm talking about the body that preachers are now preaching are not saved. I've seen it said and I've heard it said in the last 2 months that your body is not saved. Listen, my body is saved. I am saved body, soul, and spirit. I'm waiting for the adoption, the redemption of my body, but it's a done deal. I'm saved. I am saved by the grace of God from, listen, the hairs that have fallen off of my head and gone down into the drain of my shower and out into the septic system will be resurrected from the septic system and re-energized and renewed and placed back on my head in a glorified. My whole body, soul, and spirit is washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, it's complete. It's done. That's wholly done. My body. Listen, he said that your bodies be presented as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. He said you are to be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind will renew your body. Listen, the corruption of your mind ruined your body. The renewing of your mind going to reestablish your body. That's what this verse is telling you. Be ye transformed by the renewing of the mind, of your mind. Now listen, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So only a renewed mind and a transformed body perceives the will of God. He's telling you to do these things so that you can prove. If you don't do these things, then you can't prove it. Does that make sense? It should make sense. Amen? Now, what you need to do, what you need access to, is what the world is looking forward to every day. You know what the world's looking forward to every day? The world is looking forward to a better presentation. You know what they've perfected over the last 40 years? How to sell soap. How to sell cars. How to sell Harley Davidsons. How to package it up so that when I put it on the television in front of you, you'll say, I need that. I mean, back in the 50s, you wasn't sure if you needed Tide or not. Back in the 70s, you wasn't sure which brand of bleach you was going to buy. I need this lady to get on television and brag about it so I can make my choice. Well, they got paid by the company to say it. You know they're telling you a lie. Anybody that pays somebody to tell you something about their own product, I mean, buy it and use it. If it don't work, buy something else. That's the way it's supposed to work. Amen. Amen. So, well, that's wasted money. They ain't wasted money. You learned something. Amen. Well, what they've done is they've got better and better at presenting things. Well, this will cure everything in your life. Just a little dab will do you. All this stuff, all that junk was come up with just to present something to you so you'd accept it. Now, God's going to accept or reject your body. Personally, I'm talking about when you go before the judgment, God's going to accept what you've done or he's going to reject what you've done. All the world is doing their best to get that perfect presentation. And that's really something that can only be done by a Christian. Taking your word of God, taking your Bible, getting in your prayer closet, getting in next to God, getting down before the throne of grace and saying, God, I need something out of this Bible. I need something that's going to help me grow. I need something that's going to help me learn. I need something that's going to help me get closer to you so that when I get to heaven, everything that I've spent my life trying to accomplish doesn't go up in smoke and be lost, and only my body be saved. Only my soul and my spirit, my body be redeemed out of all this mess. I don't want to spend 70 or 80 or 90 years down here and then it all be for naught. Just don't want to do it. You need that better presentation, and that's what he says here. That you present your bodies. Amen. We're to make a holy presentation before God. Amen. And that presentation, that's the light. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Amen. They're going to behold your good works. And when they see your good works, well, I don't think it's all about works. It is about works. that light, that presentation that you're giving to God, that submission that you're giving to God, that holy and acceptable sacrifice that you're making to God, which you're making it in your body, your soul, and your spirit, but that presentation that you're making to God, that's the light that the men are supposed to be looking at. You're not out there trying to impress brother so-and-so or lost so-and-so. You're not out there with the express purpose of saying, I'm going to let him see me. No, you present yourself to God. And that's like one of those airport beacons shining up into the heavens. People are going to see it all around, whether they're looking for it or not. Amen. Let your light so shine before men. Amen. We possess holy souls. Do we not? We're washed in the blood, are we not? Well, we're also to have holy vessels, lifting up holy hands, 1 Timothy 2:8. He said, lifting up holy hands without wrath. No wrath, no doubting. How many of you here tonight, you got wrath? Sometimes I run into situations where I could just be mad enough to choke somebody out. I mean, if I was big, strong enough to do it, just choke them out. But the Bible says holy hands come with no wrath and no doubting. There's no question in my mind God take care of us. No question in my mind God take care of us. No question in my mind God take care of us. No question in my mind God take up for us. No question in my mind that God provide for us. No question about that at all. The only question I've got is about me. Have I been over to 2 Corinthians chapter 13 enough times and examined myself enough times? And you know what? Most Christians spend most of their time examining others rather than examining themselves. And the only thing you're doing is hurting yourselves. Because listen, at the end of your life, though you might have corrected 100,000 people and haven't corrected yourself, you need to go back and read that great chapter on charity. Listen, though you give your body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. That chapter does not say that it doesn't profit anybody else anything. You can preach the gospel and folks can be saved. You'd be just as black-hearted as the night itself. It's the gospel that saves, not you. Paul said, hey, there's some jackleg preachers out here just running off at the mouth. But he said, I'm glad Christ is being preached. You take that. Some people think, I'm so holy that God uses me. God uses his word. God uses the gospel. That's what he uses. Amen. If it wasn't for the fact that God uses his word and God uses the gospel, I would sit down tonight because I'm unworthy. If we want to talk about meeting the qualifications in the book of Timothy and Titus, I don't believe I match up to them pretty good. I'm trying. You should try. Amen? Brother Spike, you should try. But I'm not going to be so foolish as to say, yes, I've got all those mastered up now. Paul said he was perfect, but he also said he didn't attain. Well, you take that for what it is. Pray about it. Well, preacher, that means we're all in bad shape, doesn't it? Yeah, pray about that. Amen. You need to pray about that. You sure do. You say, why? Because you've been putting your hands and your feet and your eyes in places they ought not be. Yeah. I'm not guessing about that. I'm telling you, preacher, I don't even have a television. So what? Yeah. All of you got televisions. They're on the back of your eyelids when you close your eyes, the place you go to. It's wicked. Yeah. I'm not asking you if it is or not. I'm telling you it is. Well, preacher, I've got that mastered. You're the biggest liar in the church. Amen. You've been putting your hands and feet and your eyes in places they ought not be. You need to transform your ways. Isn't that what we're talking about, transforming here? You need to transform your ways. What's wrong with our church? Church full of hypocrites and liars. And amen? Been looking at things you ought not see. Amen? Transform your habits. This I'm not talking to the church across the street. We got bad habits. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Like to look at things we ought not look at. Yeah. Amen. That's truth. You've been lying. Yeah. Yeah, let God be true and every man a liar. Why did he say that? Because all of you is liars. Right. Amen? Right. He said, what about you, Brother Mike? Especially me. Liars. Liar. 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 Especially these liars. Amen? Kids are the biggest liars they is. Amen? They're cute and they say stuff that's funny every once in a while, but they're devils. Oh, this little fella right here, he's been teaching me a lot of stuff about human nature. A lot of the stuff that he don't mind manifesting because he don't know no better. That stuff's still in here. I've just learned to hide it over the years. And so have you. And so have you. And so have you. You're devils. Been looking at things you ought not look at. Your feet's been going places you ought not go. Your mind goes to those places. A lot of times you physically go to those places. Amen. Wouldn't doubt some of you been over there to Brunswick in that river boat, gambling it up. Amen. Got awful quiet right there. Church is going broke, but the river boat sure are doing good. Amen. Been lying, been complacent in hypocrisy. You know that's what they say down about the churches, don't you? That church is a bunch of hypocrites. You know why they say that? Because it's true. Every last person in here is a hypocrite. Realizing that is just as important as a sinner realizing he's a sinner to become lost, to realize his lost condition. A Christian needs to realize that the filth of the flesh and the potential of the flesh is still there. It's eating at you. It talks you into doing stuff all the time. Paul in Romans chapter 7, the great apostle to the Gentiles, says, "The things that I hate, those are the things that I do." He said, "The things that I would do, the things that I should do, the things that I love, the things that I want to do, those are the things that I do not do." That makes a first class hypocrite, and I don't think that any of you are better than Paul. Man, you make excuses when you know you ought to be doing something. You know you're not doing right. You know in your heart that you're sneaking around. You're convincing yourself to make yourself think it's right, and it ain't right. You've convinced yourself that it's okay because all men do it, and you're just going to keep doing it, and you're going to keep doing it, and you're going to keep doing it until you bump your head and bust your head against a brick wall. God's going to have mercy on you. God's going to give you grace. God's going to have all these things. Listen, we're saved by grace, but we're going to be judged in righteousness. Do you understand that? Do you realize that? I wonder why that's not clear to the world, to the majority of the Christian church today. We do exist in grace. We do have God's mercy right now. But when we die and we face the judgment one day, it's appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment, is that still true? Is that still true? Is that still right? Then how do we expect God to be who He claims to be and not judge us in righteousness once we get to the judgment seat? Your time for mercy is here. Your time for grace is here. And let me say this, and I hope it's a revelation to everybody in the room. Grace is an opportunity to make repairs. Grace is an opportunity to make repairs. It's not an opportunity to languish in your faults.
Yeah.
You say, why are you preaching like this tonight? Because it's time.
Yeah.
It's time to get right. It's time to get right. Amen? You're a God robber. Uh-oh. God robbers. Oh, Brother Mike, I'm not a God robber. You're a God robber. I pay my tithes. God didn't say God robbers didn't pay their tithes. God said God robbers didn't pay their tithes and their offerings. How about that? Amen. That's right. You know what we are? We're God robbers. We're God robbers. We're God robbers. We're God robbers. A lot of us are God robbers. Even once we get in the habit of giving, we're still God robbers. Every once in a while when we toss our two mites in the plate, we think, oh, that money could be spent over here. But it's not your money. That's not your money. Listen, let me tell you something you might not realize. You know what the Bible says about the tithes over in the Old Testament, Brother Pedro? It says the tithe is the Lord's. It says, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. You say, why? Because they're God's. The tithes are God's. They're not yours. In the New Testament, listen, I've said this 1,000 times. The church, the New Testament church, does not owe God 10%. The New Testament church owes God 100%. We owe God everything. But I do believe that it's a biblical principle, and I do believe that we're talking about sacrifices that are holy and acceptable. If I study my Bible, I have to believe that that's 10% of our income, of our increase. Well, Brother Mike, you do know that was not in the Old Testament. You do know that was cows and corn. Yeah, but we don't deal in cows and corn in 2016. If we did, bring 10% of your cows and corn. But that's not the way we do business, is it? Amen. You know what? I usually get this question, Brother Mike. Do I have to tithe my wealth redistribution check? You know what that is, don't you? Yeah, that's your tax return. You do realize that tax returns are just wealth redistribution, right? Does it make sense to take up taxes and then just send it back to people? Has any government on the face of the earth ever took up taxes and then mail it back to people? It's wealth redistribution. That's what it is. I mean, that's what it is. Hey, they send me one every year. I like it. I spend it. But you know what else I do with it? Tithe it. Yeah. Amen? Amen. A little bit quiet right there. But all I can preach is what's been preached over the ages. When God gives you an increase and you don't put that money in the offering plate into God's house. So, well, Brother Mike, I don't think this house is worth it. Go put another church then. Go join a church where they got a preacher that's got some sense and got a staff that understands what's going on in the world and put your tithes there. But don't withhold it because it's God's, it's not yours.
Amen?
Amen? That's true. Bunch of God robbers. Amen. Don't hurt my feelings none. Amen. You've been putting your hands and feet and eyes in places they ought not be, looking at things they ought not see, been lying, been complacent in hypocrisy. Amen. Been robbing God and been ignoring God. Do you pray every day? If you don't pray, you're ignoring God. Amen. If you're not reading your Bible, you're ignoring God.
Right.
Have you ever talked to your little kid and they just walked along as though you weren't there? Well, that's what God's people are doing to him. You make decisions without asking God. You ask God before you lay out of church. Do you? Well, I feel a little bad. Okay, I talk to God about it. I don't care. I said this one time and I thought it was funny and it got a pretty good reaction. Suppose the church required a doctor's note. You know, like your boss does. Some of you folks wouldn't dare miss a day of work. Listen to me, I'm being as serious as I can right now. Some of you wouldn't dare miss a day of work. If I said, let's go fishing, boy, I gotta work. But if it was a Sunday, oh yeah, I believe we could lay out of church one Sunday, wouldn't hurt too much. That's because you're ignoring God, amen? Well, you know what they do. If you get missed work and you ain't got a doctor's note, well, they'll eventually fire you if they got any sense. And if they don't, they don't have no sense. If you work for me and you laid out every other week or every week or once a week or twice a month, if you laid out twice a month, eventually I'd fire you. And if you don't do that, you're not a good businessman. Is that right? So what we'll do is, before you miss church from now on, you bring me a note from your doctor. Ain't that funny? Isn't that ridiculous? Now, you don't have to do that, and you know you don't have to do that, and you know I wouldn't mind your business enough to even be serious about anything like that, but I know you ain't talking to God about it before you do it. You're ignoring God, because God said not to forsake the assembly of yourselves together, and you do it.
Yeah.
And a lot of you do it on a regular basis. And you think, now listen, I'm not saying this with any meanness or with any aggravation whatsoever. I'm saying it with care and concern for your own soul. You're going to run into a brick wall one of these days, and you're going to call on God, and He's going to be just as hasty to your rescue as you was to get to His house. Mark it down. Mark it down. You say, how do you know? I've been down the road of Christianity long enough to know that God teaches lessons by responding to us in kind.
Sure.
I wouldn't say it to you. I wouldn't say it about you unless I had experienced it myself.
Yeah.
Amen. Right. I would love to have instant relief every time I called on God, but I haven't always been instantly obedient to God when He's called on me. Would to God that I was like the men in the Bible that when God said, who shall I send, that I would pipe up right away and say, here am I, send me. Suppose every Sunday morning God said, who will go to the house of the Lord for me today? And we all would say with one heart and with one mind, here am I, Lord. I'm getting down there just as quick as I can. But not many of us have that excitement about the house of God anymore. You say, why? Because they've been damaged. This list of things I've been reading off to you right here, this stuff damages us. It damages us. When the Bible says we ought to do a thing and we don't do it, it damages us. When we see the, for lack of a better word, most of the stuff you see on television today is all but pornographic. Yep. And when you see that stuff, it damages you. And I believe this. I'm a grown man. I'm a mature man. I've been a lot of places. I've heard a lot of things. And sometimes when I hear a curse word, and I'm not going to jump down somebody's throat if they're lost and they cuss, but I'll just be honest with you. I'm mature enough to realize that all this stuff, somebody donated an orange. Talk about giving and it'll come out of the heavens. But I'll tell you this. Sometimes we get so used to the things that go on in this world, death, cursing, drugs, all of this stuff. But I'll tell you, that stuff weighs down and just damages your soul. Whenever my wife comes around and says, so-and-so's fussing about this, that damages my soul. It really does. It's stuff that's ungodly and wicked and selfish and all this stuff. It just damages my soul. If I'm listening to the television and they say GD and I just let it pass like it wasn't, or like I've heard it a million times, it's not going to affect me any further. It damages my ears and my soul. Amen? When a woman's not dressed like she ought to and I look, it damages something behind my eyeballs. And it's very hard to repair stuff like that. When you read stuff that you ought not read and it gets down deep in your soul, it tears you apart inside. It damages your what the world would call your psyche. And it ain't nothing. They can call it what they want to, but it's your consciousness. And the Bible says we can sear our consciousness with a hot iron. And I believe that hot iron is hot, heated, red hot from the fires of hell. And it'll get in there and it'll burn you black and sinful and dark and disturb you in your mind to the point where you can just about allow or put up with anything. We put up with hundreds of thousands of babies being killed every year before they're even born. And have you ever thought about this? It doesn't even make good sense to me. And I'm not going to spend a long time talking about abortion, but all these people that would have an abortion, they already have to be liberals. They already have to be disturbed in their mind. They already have to be on the low side of what you would call moral character. And so you would think that the Democrats would go ahead and outlaw that because they're killing their own constituents. Those little babies are going to be born to liberal parents and grow up and be even more liberal, killing their own party. If they wouldn't have had abortion for the last 40 years, they'd be a lot more Democrats than anything else right now. Just some thoughts I have when I'm thinking. Damages the spirit of the believer, and we use grace and common fallibility of man to justify our excuse. Well, you know, we're all sinners. It's okay. These men can run off on their wives and get with this other woman, then get back in the ministry and, oh, you know, because we're all sinners. Well, no, we're not. Not like you're saying we're not. Listen, we're not all adulterers. I got news for you right now. We're not all adulterers. Listen, somebody can justify treating you bad because everybody does it, but we ain't all like that. Amen? We ain't all like that. Some people can say, well, women ought to be women's liberals because men are such pigs. Hey, all of us men ain't pigs. Hey, some men might justify treating women like dirt because they some whores out there, but all women ain't whores. Some women are godly and love Jesus and got a measure of modesty about them and trying to do the right thing. You can take your lax rules and regulations and your false Christianity and go straight to hell with it because that ain't God's way of doing things. God says He wants things to be done holy and acceptable in His sight. And He gives you a verse right there to justify standing up for what's right no matter who says you're a legalist or who says you've gone too far with it. Stand up and stand some more and stand another time and stand again and let all hell holler about it. Doesn't make no difference. God told you to do right and keep on doing right. Do right some more and do right some more and do right some more. Amen? We're saved by grace, but we'll be judged by holiness and righteousness. And grace is an opportunity to repair the damage, not languish in it. Amen? Sinners, be saved from your sins. And believers, Be saved from your apathetic, dead religion, because that's about all we've got in this day and time. We need salvation from it. We need to be delivered from it. We need to be delivered from preachers who have nothing else to preach about but legalistic preachers. It's become the subject. It's become the big topic. I can't believe all these preachers are hurting one another. Listen, if the preaching of the holiness that comes from the Word of God hurts you, you need those stripes. You need those stripes. If I stand here and preach holiness and it offends your soul and hurts your feelings, you need every one of those stripes. You need them. Amen. The Bible says with His stripes we are healed. Sometimes biblical stripes will cause some healing inside your soul that maybe you didn't even know you needed. And I got news for you. When Paul the Apostle preached, he said, "I'm glad I made you sorry." He didn't say, "I'm glad I made you happy." He didn't say, "I'm glad I made you shout the roof off." He didn't say, "I'm glad we had an old time Holy Ghost fit in here." He didn't say, "I'm glad we were all so happy we swung from the rafters." He said, "I wrote you a letter and it made you so sorry you broke down and you said, 'I'm nothing but a sinner. I need to get right with God.' And I know this ain't much of a message. I know it's not very profound. I know I didn't say a whole lot of stuff that would just turn the world upside down, but I know this. All I've tried to do this evening is let you know that we're still got a life to live. We've still got time to spend down here. We've still got time left on our sentence on this earth, and we're going to have to serve it with holiness and purity. We're going to have to get right with God. We're going to have to forget about this world. We're going to have to forget about being entertained. We're going to have to forget about languishing around on beds of ease. We're going to have to forget about just everything in this world that comes against us, except for the fact that the Holy Spirit has a job for us to do.
Amen.
Our Holy Savior has a work for us to do. Our Holy Father has a work for us to do. And it's time to get busy. Not another minute to lose. Not another second to lose. Oh, you don't know what all I got to deal with. You deal with God's business and let God deal with your business. He's more than able. He's more than able. Let's pray. Brother Nathan, you play for us. And let's get around God's altar. I don't care if you do it right there at your seat or do it in your heart or bow your head. Don't care where you go. Just go before the throne of grace. That's where we need to be going anyway. Well, let's get around God's altar and say, "God, help us." Would you do it? Been trying to do that around my house. I hope you'll be trying to do it around your house. Just call on the Lord to help you draw near. Call on the Lord to help you make that reasonable sacrifice, that reasonable service. So many times I think about, have I reasonably served the one that died for me? Have I reasonably served the one who did more than what reason would have required for me? Don't know that I said that well, but the way it sounds in my mind, I believe that's exactly right. The Lord done more than what one would reasonably expect for lost and dying sinners. Can't we just do what's reasonable in service for Him? You deal with the Lord as He directs you, and He'll bless you.